Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Hey, what's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs and leaders looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. Today's interview episode of Getting Work to Work is the second in a four-part series promoting Design Week Portland, a week-long, all-inclusive festival celebrating the projects and processes as told by a creative community across many disciplines. In these interviews, you're going to meet amazing creatives who are not only producing great work, but also giving back and building a community of equality. Learn more about Design Week Portland at designportland.org. Now that the stage is set, the second group of creatives I would like to introduce you to are Christina Melander, Amanda Grisham, and Natalie Park, who all participated in a program called FTW for the Women, a mentorship and accountability program that was launched at last year's Design Week Portland, and it just recently wrapped up this year. Christina shares about the inspiration and purpose of FTW and why Swift, the agency she works for, took this project on. From there, the conversation shifts to Amanda and Natalie talking about the mentorship process and what they gained from it. This episode is but one shining example of what people get from Design Week Portland. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/251. Christina, welcome to Getting Work to Work. Why don't you share a little bit about who you are and the work you do?
Sure. Thanks for having me today, Chris.
Yeah,
I am a multi-hyphenate, like most of us are. I'm a mother and a wife and a career-minded individual and a sister and a friend and a daughter. And I feel like all of that is quite a privilege to have and very grateful for my relationships in my life. And I think that it's those connections with other humans that make me who I am, or make me more of who I am and would be on my own. And professionally, I am the brand communications director at Swift, which is a creative agency based in Portland. And I've been with Swift for almost 4 years. Love my job because I get to find strategic opportunities to connect Swift with the wider world and with the people who matter the most, which are our employees on the inside.
Nice. So one of the ways that you've connected Swift with the greater world is through what is called FTW, or For the Women. And that was announced at last year's Design Week Portland. So what was the inspiration and purpose for this event?
Yeah, it has been, it's just been a tremendous program to launch and usher through this past year. The original inspiration came from a few different inputs. In 2017, got to rewind a little bit here. I was working closely with an organization called Ladies Get Paid and helped start a Portland chapter of that national group. And at the same time, I was working closely with our CEO and co-founder, Liz Valentine, the CEO and co-founder of Swift. And Liz was delivering quite a few talks out in the community, whether it was on TEDx stage or at Creative Mornings or with different companies, and really talking about some of the elements that had helped her kind of become who she was as a businesswoman and a leader, and breaking down these qualities and then how they tied to this idea of a different kind, a different breed of femininity. So empathy, collaboration, communication, and transparency. And Swift has always attracted a lot of great women, female talent, because of Liz's leadership and example in front of them to see that they could succeed and perhaps forge their careers in a way that had maybe been limited at other organizations that operated out of a more traditional male mindset, which is not to say that one gender does things better, but just that I would say that there are differences, and that in the business world, it has been sort of designed around some very male ways of thinking and doing, because for a long time, men were the ones who were out in the world working, and women, frankly, were not, or were not really in positions of leadership to shape our sort of professional expectations and actions. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is getting long-winded, but I will keep going to get to your question. Because what happened in Liz going out and giving that talk and the events that I was doing with Ladies Get Paid was we were connecting with hundreds and thousands, actually, of women who, I mean, men as well, but a lot of women who were hungry for guidance and example and advice for how to navigate their careers and achieve more meaningful success in their roles.
Yes.
And what we found was we would be peppered with a lot of questions. And they brought up great points. And certainly, you know, by answering one person's question, that maybe can help, you know, 20 other people in the audience. But there's also very specific challenges that each individual has to navigate. And we were interested in a way that we could help people on a more individual level, but still at scale. Mm-hmm. And so arrived at this idea of combining group mentorship with individual accountability.
Cool.
So a structure that would allow people to kind of raise their hand and say, I've got some stuff that I want to work on, you know, in my work life, and I am asking for some help in navigating that. And so kind of this dual, it kind of hinged on this duality of like, I'm going to show up and put in the work and carve out that time for myself that I wouldn't normally. And also I'm going to benefit from hearing from others and being able to sort of workshop my specific goals and hurdles.
So that whole vision was just for the event, or was that the bigger picture for what would transpire after the event?
Yeah, it was. The event, I would say, was the launch pad for the program,
okay.
But it was envisioned as originally a 6-month program. In reality, it extended beyond that. And we wanted to partner with Design Week in a way of bringing this to the community, because Design Week is a known entity, and it's a, you know, it's a terrific coming together for the creative community in Portland each year. And already has, you know, a great sort of built-in audience and platform for getting the word out. And, you know, we wanted to be a part of that, and frankly thought that it would reach a lot of the people, you know, sort of the audience that we felt that this would be relevant and useful to.
So how many people, how many women raised their hands and said that they wanted to go through this program?
A lot. We originally had set it up to be 100 participants and 20 mentors. And then we had such demand for those spots that we expanded it to be 150 participants and 25 mentors.
Wow.
And another thing that was interesting is its reach went a little beyond Portland into Vancouver, but also Hood River and Eugene and Corvallis. And we had people who were commuting in not only for that original kickoff night, but also for their ongoing meetings with their team.
Was that surprising to see how much demand there was for this?
Not really, actually. Again, because we had been doing these other events, we had seen that there was really this kind of groundswell of interest and appetite for that kind of like focused guidance and support.
Nice.
So, and I think Swift does enjoy a reputation of being this kind of pioneering agency that does things differently. And so we had that going for us. And then the other thing that's really important, and I think has been key to the overall strength of this operation, is that it wasn't just Swift by any means. Mm-hmm. We certainly were the ones to kind of coalesce the idea. But what we did was we reached out to a number of what we saw as kind of like-minded organizations or agencies mm-hmm. that had some goals around, you know, diversity and gender equity and equality mm-hmm. And women's leadership, you know, kind of concerned with some of the things that we were putting forward in this program, and asked, hey, you know, will you be a part of this? And can you provide a mentor or more than one mentor who will stick with us for the duration? And yes. that's how we sourced the mentors for the program. And we ended up with, I believe, 16 other organizations wow. that signed on.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, wow. it was everyone from Wieden and Kennedy to Propeller to Laundry Service to Ladies Get Paid and mm-hmm. Ladies Night PDX. So really, really kind of diverse network of expertise that we were drawing upon.
So when you have 150 mentees and 25 mentors, what does that 6 months look like where they're going through mentorship and accountability?
We, I will say from the get-go, always saw this as an experiment, that we had a vision nice. For what we hoped and sort of our intuition told us this could be, but also wanted there to be enough space for people to make it their own and continue to sort of shape it in a way that was going to be instructive and relevant for them. So what we did is we created a playbook. We identified six overarching themes for the program, one for each month. Nice. And those themes were derived from an initial survey that was part of the price of admission to this, is that for each mentee, they needed to complete a, you know, a Google form survey that asked a series of questions about their field, their, you know, years of experience in that field, what their current role was, what was their number one goal they were looking to work toward, what was their biggest hurdle standing in the way of that goal. Mm. And from there, we were able to, and this was another thing that was incredibly cool about this, is that we were able to involve really the breadth of Swift disciplines, you know, in our agency. So oh. our data science team and our strategic planning team and our creative team on the survey side work with data science to digest and sort and analyze all this information that came in from the survey. And then, like I said, arrive at these six themes, because honestly, I can tell you the number one sort of issue for people was confidence. Just flat out essential, having that feeling empowered and emboldened to identify what you want and to build a plan to get it.
Nice.
So we created this playbook as a guide for the mentors and mentees to follow, with, you know, specific prompts for each month and how they might open up the discussion amongst themselves. We suggested that they, each person on a team, sort of adopt a specific role within that group, whether it's like the note taker or the hype girl who is going to send inspiring articles or, you know, encouragement throughout the month. And just to, again, give it more structure instead of just being like, okay, here's your group, go out and figure out your goals and conquer. And then we had set up a Slack workspace for everyone to communicate and bounce things around and, you know, post jobs, post questions, whatever it was that was sort of top of mind and, you know, needed or wanting the input of others on. And then just outlined a basic framework, which was meet once a month as a group and, you know, do your homework that we kind of had indicated in the book. and then meet the next month and kind of report back on it. Like, that's the accountability, right? Like, I say I'm going to do this thing. Now I've got to go and put some effort into doing it so that I can come back next month and account for what I did.
That's pretty awesome how you were able to integrate what sounds like the core work of your agency and apply that to this process as well. Is that unique to what you would have done, or is that just part of the Swift DNA?
I think it's part of the Swift DNA. We have eight core values we kind of use as a Polaris to guide and inform our actions and behaviors. And one of them is that we are part of something bigger, which is just to sort of recognize that, you know, we all have these kind of forces that affect us in our work life and our personal life. And also, it's not just, you know, we're not just isolated within this world of an agency. We're part of a Portland community. We're part of our friend groups and our families and the interests that we pursue outside of the office. I think people, you know, are always interested in ways of just, again, finding those meaningful connections and contributing to something that they believe in. Yes. And there's really a spirit here of collaboration. And I mean, it sounds so optimistic, but kind of wanting to do good and benefit others, not just yourself.
That's just so inspiring to hear, just not only, you know, being great at what you do, but inspiring the larger community. I think that's something that we should all be aspiring for and celebrating.
Yeah. I mean, I think we find that when we do take that task on, you grow and gain experiences that you wouldn't have otherwise. And that is certainly something we found among the mentors who worked this program, because, you know, it's really a lot to ask of them to volunteer their time. These are women who are, you know, have very full lives and responsibilities, but they all, you know, felt throughout this process that they were gaining so much too. Like, they were learning and they were working on their own goals and priorities and drawing on their community of their group to feel supported and encouraged to go after them. And I think, you know, of course, it's just like being a parent or a teacher or a good friend, like you help others and you feel good for doing it too.
Yeah.
I will say that when we first started out with this, I really had no idea of the scale it would achieve both internally and externally. And that, you know, I had sort of this lame working name for it originally, and no sense of what it might look like in terms of a design. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our leadership team has been incredibly supportive of this initiative and allowed us to put resources behind it from, like I said, from our data science, strategy, production, and creative departments. And the creative thinking that came to this, you know, is really manifested in the name, the logo, the whole brand identity and visual system that I think was just outstanding and really, you know, kind of a fun, like, blue sky, open space project for people to work on, which didn't have a ton of parameters or, like, you know, a very protective client who already had this existing brand to manage. So that was pretty cool. And then our strategic team also took this as an opportunity to do some primary research with the participants and mentors.
Nice.
And really put together a robust, you know, methodology of surveys and conversations and interviews so that we could glean insights and be able to take those forward beyond the program, again, to help reach and benefit people who were not able to participate in it.
So what are some of the stories that you've heard from the participants, both mentors and mentees?
Well, there are quite a few.
Yeah,
you've got a couple hours. We can definitely talk, but
you don't need to share them all.
Yeah, no. We celebrated our closing ceremony this past week in late February. And it was really fantastic to bring forward these stories. And what I really love about this is you could come to this with goals of many different dimensions and sizes, right? Like you didn't have to come to this and be like, I want to totally transform my career and switch fields. But some did. We had a woman who was a high school teacher and she really wanted to get into business consulting. And she ended up with a mentor who worked in business consulting. So that was pretty great. Yeah.
Was that intentional or did that just happen?
It was intentional because, again, we were able to draw on that data from the initial survey and then sort people into groups as best we could, you know, to align with some of those professions or goals, which was a kind of crazy, intensive, you know, very manual labor, magic sorting hat kind of process. That was pretty fun, but also a little crazy making at the time. And so she was able to, you know, work with this kind of expert in the field one-on-one and overhaul her resume and, I mean, apply to just hundreds of different positions. And then as she got interviews, work with that mentor again to really, you know, practice and shape her experience. Like, how is she going to parlay her years as an educator into being a, you know, business analyst. And so we saw that. We saw dozens of women negotiate for salary increases or promotions or different jobs or all three at the same time, which is incredibly gratifying, right? Yeah. I mean, as one of our mentors, Amanda Grisham, she so eloquently said the other night that I lead with love, but I love money. And I mean, it was like the mic drop of the night because it's so true. Like we sometimes, you know, I think operate like that we're, I don't know, somehow shameful to want to ask for more money or make those negotiations, which are really hard. Mm-hmm. But ultimately that is, you know, a big part of how we reward employees, right? And sort of a measure of success and aptitude. So yeah, I mean, there were things like, you know, people who overhauled their portfolios and created websites to showcase their work. A woman who published a book of poetry. A woman who had a cool infographic that she had designed, which was from years past, but still, you know, in this time frame, like was included in a Tashin design book. And some just really neat things. And a woman who had just like a year-long job search going and finally landed a really cool position at Nike. We had women who took other workshops or, you know, went to events or just made it part of their mission to go on purposeful informational interviews and go prepared with, you know, questions they wanted to ask that could help them navigate to the next step, or just leveraging a mentor's connections to talk with people and, you know, get an understanding of how they might transition to a different field or role.
Wow. How amazing and awesome.
I just remembering one more, which is a woman who wanted to become a better public speaker, which, you know, for people who work in so many different jobs, that is just critically important. And I think becoming more and more so.
Yes.
And it's also very intimidating. And she started going to a Portland Toastmasters group, just super old school, but proven to be effective, and got this practice. And then, I mean, really came full circle, because then she was one of the women up on stage at our closing ceremony talking publicly about her journey.
Thank you, Christina. Now I'm going to shift the conversation to Amanda Grisham and Natalie Park sharing about their involvement in FTW for the Women. Why don't you both share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you participated in FTW?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having us. It's definitely an exciting opportunity to get to talk about For the Women. I think it was an incredible experience for my group and also myself. So it feels like an amazing opportunity to be able to talk more about it.
Awesome.
So my name is Amanda Grisham, and I am the retail designer at Bar 3. I am also the owner and operator of Grisham Watson, a small paper company based out of Portland, Oregon.
Right on.
I got involved with For the Women after being heavily involved with another organization called Ladies Get Paid. One of my main missions, both in my community and in my life, is to empower and support women, both through my work and the way that I am involved in my community. Mm-hmm. And I loved For the Women because it was based on the idea of women in the workplace, which I think is one of the big frontiers for us as far as places where we can really make strides and create more opportunities for more women.
My name's Natalie. I'm from Portland, and I am the project manager team lead for Satisfy Fi. It's an event and retail production company that mostly focuses on like brand activations and events and retail installations. And I wanted to participate in For the Women because I was just really excited to find a different network of women. And I was really interested in the mentor-mentee relationship, just trying to grow and develop within my job, or maybe find another one, but to lean on other women to have that support.
From what I understand, Amanda, you are the mentor. Natalie, you are the mentee. So what was the experience like for both of you over the last year?
Oh, just the best.
Yes.
I honestly, Chris, like, so surprised. I have done a lot of mentorship in the past, and I'd never mentored a group before. And I think it was just so much good luck, and also just so, we just had the best personality group, I think. Mm-hmm. So there was a total of 7 of us, including myself, and we barely ever missed a meeting. I think there were maybe 2 absences in the entire time that we met over the past year, and it was for really good reasons, like weddings or like international travel. Mm-hmm. And I think what it really did for us is setting and establishing goals, you know, with the kind of that runway of 9 months that we all knew we were there to support each other. Mm-hmm. We got to be really honest. And I think what that also allowed us to do was have the understanding that we didn't have to do it overnight. And so being able to come together and really support one another in that sense was great.
Yeah. And I hadn't been mentored nothing kind of structured like this before. It was all just organic in my past jobs. So this was really exciting to participate in. And yeah, it was just like, you know, every meeting it was, you wanted to go to it, and you felt so energized and uplifted afterwards. And it wasn't, you know, I think, Amanda, I mean, you have amazing advice, but it was like this round circle of mentorship too, you know, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, we, and it's just a great group of friends now. So,
yeah.
Natalie, what did you mean by the round circle of mentorship? That's fascinating.
Well, like we would, you know, send, you know, book recommendations, and, you know, there's women from who just graduated college to have been in their career for a long time. And it was just like our group text that we had, I feel like was just so important to my journey through, you know, what happened this year, because just seeing everyone's like little incremental successes, and you know, there was this difficulty at work, or you know, this opportunity came up, and it was just everyone joined in, and I just really thought it was wonderful.
So as you're going through this experience and have come out the other side of this experience, what did each of you gain?
Oh, just so much energy. I think, to Natalie's point, every time that our group would meet, even if it was that like 5:30 feeling of, oh, I would love to be able to cancel this, but I know my group is going to be there. The moment that we arrived to the table together was instantly energy giving, because it was, oh, you're in crisis, I'm in crisis, let's talk about crisis for a second. Yeah. Or, you know, like, or what, like, babe, what's going on? And it's about that weekend. It's about like moving and moving in with a significant other and how that is affecting work and life. And so it really came to a point where I think one of our biggest, you know, we were super fortunate to have kind of that intergenerational mix that Natalie kind of touched on. And I think that's one of the touch points that you don't always get in the industry when you're trying to find mentorship or, you know, kind of partnership organically. But to have, you know, multiple perspectives and to be able to come to the group and to feel supported. And there wasn't ever a time where someone was like, your problem is not a problem or your problem is insignificant. It was, your problem is something I've experienced. And I'll tell you, in a year, it won't feel like a problem because. And those were things that I just, I took away so much as being a part of the group. And I feel like, I mean, I had the label of mentor, but at the same time, it was so much more of that circular sort of thing where I got so much out of it that I mean, highly recommend. All the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think we were so lucky to have a group that was super engaged because, yeah, you never felt like you would say anything or you would be judged or anything like that. It was just everyone dug into whatever issue you had and had really thoughtful advice and really great recommendations and, or was just, you know, like great gifts of support when you had a success in that text message group. And I just think the community that we created with each other is just something that I think we were very fortunate to have, even within the For the Women kind of story of last year.
So what would you say was a personal takeaway from this? I'm sure that you've had a lot of conversations, a lot of insights, a lot of time thinking about your personal journey. What's kind of standing out as the aha moment, I guess, from this experience?
I would say, truthfully, trying to think of the best way to phrase it, but I think one of the things that our group did really well was we had a level of vulnerability at every session that made whoever was having a conflict or whoever had a concern, that person didn't feel alone. And having been the person with the conflict or with the concern at, you know, one meeting or another, I think that was something that I took away as a workplace learning that I hadn't had before, to know that no one is competing with me in this space. Everyone is with me in this space. And I think that that's an attitude that I now bring into meetings. I bring it into goal setting sessions with, you know, my team or even my friends. Like I sat down with my closest group of girlfriends in January and I was like, ladies, like, what do you want to do this year? Like, how can I help you? How can I support you? And I think that's something too that, you know, you sit down with your significant other and maybe you map out like dinner or a weekend away, but like, how often do you sit down with your friends or your significant other or your team at work and say, okay, in the next year, let's dream about it for a little bit. And to be a partner as far as goal setting and looking at things with a little bit of a runway so that you can create possibility, I think is one of the things that I walked away with from this program.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think that the being that vulnerable, I think helped, you know, work through some, what I understood as my value and my worth at my company and, you know, kind of within my community. And I think that really helped me push myself to apply for promotion and stick to my guns and knowing that, you know, I had this great group of women that I didn't have 6 months ago, you know, cheering me on at every step. I think that understanding that for myself was really important and has gotten me to a new step in my career. So,
whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
That's the official mentorship cheer.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
So, Natalie, would you say that getting that promotion or going after that promotion was one story that you will never want to forget?
Yes. Well, I got that promotion. So let's just clarify that. Yeah. I mean, certainly for me, but like I mentioned earlier, it was like, but it was pretty constant for our group. You know, I'm not the only success story in Amanda's team. So it was like, even just after this last celebration final ceremony, you know, we had another gal that this us being together pushed her to go for it and ask for what she wanted. And it happened. And I just, it was just this like constant, you know, win. And it doesn't have to be a big win. It can just be these getting you to a little bit better space. And I just think that's what I'm not going to forget is just that overall feeling with everyone in the group.
How about you, Amanda? What do you not want to forget from this experience?
I think truthfully, if I walked away with one kind of nugget or maybe, you know, kind of reaffirming one of my core values, it's just that effort matters and it matters so much. And I think even getting to the meetings and making time to make those things happen, like that was just one little box to check for the group, but being there and being present and hearing and giving feedback. And I think we had so much success in our group just because everyone made the effort. And I think that's, for me, the little nugget that really matters. And I think what is really important to Natalie's point is, like, looking at the amount of success that our entire group of seven women had, I was kind of looking at it from kind of a quantitative perspective the other night. And over the course of 9 months, we've added back 10, like added, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to women's annual incomes. And
hell yeah.
Like, like, I don't know if we're allowed to cuss, but like, fuck yes. Like, hello. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things that I really sit with quite often and I take a lot of pride in. And I think that ending the wage gap, but also making sure that the people who are coming into roles know how powerful they are, and also developing women in their careers so as other women enter the workplace, they have someone there who knows what it's like, is really, really important. So I think it just circles back to that being effort forward, like making the effort is absolutely, I think, what my biggest takeaway is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The double yeah.
Yeah.
Triple yeah. Woo. So what advice do you both have for other creatives looking to either mentor or be mentored?
Oh man, I would just say do it. I mean, it was, we're so lucky. What a lucky opportunity to have, you know, Swift facilitate this. And I mean, it's so lucky to have you. I mean, I can remember in the first meeting, it was just like listening to your story and how you were an advocate for yourself. And then I was like, yeah, we could do this. I mean, I would definitely do it again. And I would like to participate as a mentor eventually, if there's something like this happens again, but
even a little more
organically, if it can happen within my workspace. But oh man, this was just like, you can quantify it. You kicked ass, but the unquantifiable stuff we got from this was just, I mean, I think, hugely beneficial to all involved.
Yeah, I would totally reiterate, just like go for it. And I think too, especially in the creative field, it can be hard to seek a mentor because our work is so personal, or it's hard to ask. And I think that's one of the places that, you know, coming into the first couple meetings, that was kind of my mission, was to just break down the walls of saying, like, let's let it out. Because I feel like a lot of the time, and talking to Christina about this earlier last week, it was not anything of my doing. Everyone already knew what they were capable of, what they were worthy of, and what they needed to do. And those who didn't, we just gave them the tools to get the confidence to ask for what they deserved. And I think the reality is sometimes it's that confidence boost, but also it's just the knowing that you're not alone in whatever it is that you're struggling with. And looking up into your company, or, you know, just looking across at your peer level, is there someone there that can help you? Or do you see someone struggling where you can just ask them for a coffee? Yeah. Like, mentorship is both ways, no matter, you know, who's more senior. And I think that that is super important, and to just go for it and to approach things as a human, I think, is where mentorship really, you know, can blossom. Because I think too, you can go in with an attitude of only wanting to grow in the workplace, but you are yourself at work, hopefully. And, you know, that's a privilege for a lot of people. So being yourself at work, like approaching things as a human and creating your own style, that's the ultimate creative, is doing work creatively. And I think that no matter what your job is, that's super important. So yeah, just do it. Just, it's hard, but swallow, like, take a deep breath. And like, just ask.
I'm like jumping up and down right now because I really love what you just said about being yourself, and because that's the ultimate creative. I just yes.
Okay, she is full of this. This was every meeting. Man, you should have heard her up on the couch at the final ceremony. It was awesome. What was it? What did you say? It was you say it.
It kind of haunts me now because it got quoted back to me in an email last week too. But someone asked me, it was like the opening question. And you know, sometimes you like get comfortable and you forget you're holding a microphone. And I was like, and I'm pretty sure I said that of myself, like, I lead with love, but I also love money. And at that point, they're like, okay, here we go.
But yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about, you know, the self-worth and the under, you know, and getting that confident boost from each other, but then also getting that paycheck. So,
yeah,
you know, appreciate you.
You did it. I was just there.
So how do you take all this energy and pour it into your work now? Because that's really what it's about. It's about fueling the work and getting paid. So what does really building upon this look like moving forward?
Oh, man. Well, so now I'm in charge of a team of 7. So definitely the tools that I've, you know, learned from this past year or 9 months or so, mm-hmm. and kind of doing, my goal will be kind of a little bit more one-on-one mentorship with the individual team members to just, you know, understand where they're coming from and hopefully getting them on a path to be more successful with themselves. Because when you feel good with yourself, then you feel good in your work, and that makes you be a better worker. So that's kind of how I'm taking it.
I mean, truthfully, this program was just as confidence giving to me as I hope, you know, everyone in my group walked away with. And mm-hmm. for me, it's not only growing in my full-time job, but also growing in my business. And I think it's really about honoring myself as a creative. And I feel like I have always kind of been on that line of sharing too much, but at the same time, exactly. At the same time, I think what this program has given me is the confidence and understanding that when I share my full story, the ability for people to get to know me and understand that success is possible no matter how you map it and no matter what path you have to take, even though you mapped it, like that part is really important. And I think that's the energy I'm bringing into my work. And I left a large corporate job and am now in more of a startup environment in my day job. And so with that, it's really about being empowered and really owning my story, letting people know who I am, and owning the creative for a large part of our business. So that part feels continually, I feel just so given from this group.
Thank you, Amanda and Natalie. It's awesome to hear all of the ways you grew through this program. Coming back to you, Christina, how has being involved in FTW at a leadership level impacted your work?
Yeah, that's interesting. It has been, I mean, such a learning experience for me. And again, just so much more awesome than I ever envisioned. I mean, I feel incredibly grateful to Swift for believing in this idea and investing in it, putting forward the resources to make it work. So it's just been a cool fit. I mean, it's a very cool thing on a personal level to come forward with an idea and have it validated in a number of ways and supported and given a lot of space and leeway to design it and mm-hmm. and launch it and nurture it and then kind of see it through, you know, to the finale. And I have felt a lot of just professional satisfaction in that, of course, and also learned a lot about what it takes to put something like this into operation and have it proven out that something like this does work, right? Yeah. Like we've seen. Now, it's not that everyone's stuck with it. I think of the 150, we probably had 100 who maybe, you know, really stuck with it. Mm-hmm. And it's really gone on for 10 months because 6 months would have put us at November, but then it was the holidays. So we kind of moved it to February. We had a snow day. And so they moved to later February. And, you know, what's also been super cool is that people have continued to meet during that time, you know, even though it's like, oh, 6 months is up, I'm out. I mean, people were like, no, I love this community. I love my team. I think people are going to continue meeting in a number of cases or, you know, connecting with certain individuals. So that's cool. And, you know, I think I've also learned that, you know, as capacity as I have for something like this, that, you know, my resources are finite too. Yeah. So it's been a learning in that as well, that I have to dial some things back. And like, I didn't sign on to be an ambassador for Ladies Get Paid this year, because I just felt that at the same time, my responsibilities in my role at Swift, you know, have expanded, and we have a number of priorities that we're getting after. And so, you know, it's also like, I really want to focus on that at this point.
Yeah. So with all of that in mind, what does the long term for this program look like? Does it look like a cycling, you know, through another 6 months with new mentors, new participants, or is it just a continuation of what's been built with the people that's already in it?
Yeah. So it is evolving in that right now what we're doing is putting the call to action out to the community.
Nice.
So we sort of closed the final event with an invitation for anyone who's been involved in this to kind of pass it on, to take this model and adapt it, make it better, take the parts that you like and turn them, steer them in another direction. I think this is applicable to all people and can work just as well for men as it works for women. So I think I'm really interested to see what people do with it. We've already, you know, had a number of requests from people to share resources and kind of questions about it. We really want to open source it and see what happens. Then I think, you know, for Swift, we're not launching an FTW 2.0 at this time, but we kind of want to see where this open source idea goes and come back, you know, revisit it at a later time.
Yeah. What's popping into my mind is almost like the creative morning model where you have the master idea and then just let people run with it all over the US and the world.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. I like that. Yeah. It would be cool to see, like, how can people, you know, improve upon this? And what are some other ways? Can you take it to your organization, your place of work, and initiate a mentorship program there? I think that would be really cool. One of our thoughts with the research is, you know, making more of this research available to companies as well, so that they can take this, because everyone benefits from having more kind of qualified, empowered workforce, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is a big question for, you know, businesses right now, is how can they help their employees succeed and grow and continually develop.
Well, Christina, this has been a fantastic conversation. I just have two more questions for you. They're shorter ones. Don't worry. But what are your favorite parts of Design Week Portland?
I'm so excited to attend Design Week this year, because last year with FTW, I just was not able to. But that said, in years past, I just loved the variety of different events and getting, I think it's a time where, you know, all these different places of business, individuals, people who have these cool, I don't know, programs or ideas are like culminating to do, like put their best foot forward to Portland, right? So it's like, this is a big moment and people really rise to the occasion by creating, you know, quality kind of programming to invite people into their spaces and their worlds. So it's just, I think the caliber of events and sort of activities is really high overall.
Well, hopefully we can make one of our monthly meetings into going to an event. I would love that as a group.
Just took that note.
Yeah, good. I actually quickly was looking through. I haven't had a lot of time to look through all the events, but I was really interested in seeing how much AI and augmented reality stuff was in there. That was actually something that we use in our business. So I thought that would be interesting to see. And there was a whole panel led by women, which was super stoked on.
Yeah, I think for me too, it's about kind of rallying new people who haven't had the Design Week experience before. What Design Week offers to the Portland community and beyond is kind of what For the Women has done in offering a platform for that facilitation to start to happen, for people to meet, for questions to be asked and answered. And I think that for me, I, you know, kind of have a folder of people who've emailed who want to touch base, or, you know, we exchange a couple of text messages. And Design Week Portland is one of those events that I try and make time to explain to people and to, you know, kind of advocate for, because it's like me, but like multiplied. And so it's like a collective energy versus, you know, trying to share your network at once. Like, the network is there, and to immerse people in that is so much more fruitful, I think. So that's like my favorite thing about Design Week Portland. And it's also super diverse. And I think that's one of the things too, where if I don't have the experience of doing a project, it's awesome to be able to say, oh, well, that studio is having an open house, or, you know, go to this panel and talk to this person. And so I think that is a huge benefit of having the collective.
All right. Final question for you. I ask this of everyone that I talk to. What was the last book or podcast that blew your mind?
Crossing to Safety by Wallace Stegner, which I read over the winter. And it is just a masterful novel, just a beautiful, well-told story that my sister gave me the book. And yeah, just really responded to it. It's an excellent read.
I'm pretty routine on this. I flop between The Daily and My Favorite Murder, but I've been peppering in.
Murdering out.
I've been peppering in Gold Digger. She has a couple good episodes on team building, and I know I've said that a couple times, but I'm really trying to dig into my new role. So I've been trying to find some podcasts that support me with the tools that I can use. Yeah.
I would say that the best kind of book for this space that I've read, you know, in the past couple months is Rework. Mm-hmm. And it is of my personality. And I think it spoke to me in a really good way. Definitely the way that I think a business should be run. And it was great because I actually, at my first day at Bar 3, had a copy of it on my desk with a little love note in there from our CEO.
Nice.
But I had read it before, but to revisit it again, entering a new environment, was like reading it for the first time.
Awesome.
And so I would say that Rework was really good. I would also say that Dare to Lead by Brené Brown is currently just full of sticky notes. Like, it is a good one. And I think her collective works, whether you're trying to improve in the workspace or just in life, are super helpful as far as tapping into your leadership skills, you know, honoring and really almost highlighting vulnerability from a perspective of from here we can grow. And I would say that those are my two big ones.
Nice. Have you read the author's latest book, It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work?
No, I have not.
Yeah, the authors of Rework wrote a new one, and expanding their message of it doesn't have to be crazy at work.
God, that sounds what I need. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't personally read it yet, but it's what a great message for, I think, all of us.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Christina, thank you so much for spending time on Getting Work to Work. It's going to be fun taking your interview, cutting it with, you know, mentees and mentors, and just making this story the caliber of what it is. I mean, just, I want to congratulate you and Swift and all the mentors and mentees who participated and really built something that hopefully will live on in a 2.0 that the open source community runs with.
Yeah, it has been such a fantastic collective team effort. So I really thank you, Chris, for your interest. And it's just been such a delight to be able to share more of the story. So thank you.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
As we come to the end of this episode of Getting Work to Work, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative entrepreneurs and leaders? You can send them to gwtw.co to access every episode of this show, or you can have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do you have a big idea you're chasing or want to share about how you're growing in your creative work? Perhaps you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to, drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Not only do I love talking about curiosity in this podcast, but I like writing about it too. And I just launched a new email series for creative entrepreneurs who are struggling with burnout, conformity, and mediocrity called The Curiosity Killers. Each day focuses on one killer and provides a few steps you can take to build your curiosity through wonder, learning, and action. Head to curiositykillers.com to sign up for this fun and serious look at why curiosity matters. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.